Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
This hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. What do the Seahawks want to accomplish with the quarterbacks during OTAs? That's coming your way in about 13 minutes in four down territory. Before we get to it, let's take a look ahead to the Mariners. June, they are continuing their road trip with a series against the Texas Rangers. That first pitch at 5:05 p.m., pregame show at 4 p.m. today. Jake, June is comparatively easier than May, though certainly not an easy schedule.
Oh, without question.
I was thinking yesterday, you want to start talking about games and when they matter in baseball. It's hard to say that an individual game in June, early June especially, matters, or is like, I should say, is a must win. But when you need to dig yourself out of a hole, which is what the Mariners need to do, then yes, then series wins do matter, and the Mariners need to stack them quickly.
Yes, 100%. I mean, you have found yourself at 22-29, right? Already you start the year. You're 11 games back from the Houston Astros. Okay, the positive thing right now for Mariners fans is that the Angels are on an epic losing streak at the current moment. They are on an 8-game losing streak, Stacy. So you just want to see that continue to keep happening. The Los Angeles Angels, they are down to 27-25 after their unbelievable start to the season. The Rangers are 24-26. So you're in striking distance to be able to surpass, you know, the Rangers and then be able to set your eyes on the Angels, right? Like you legitimately are in that range. But in terms of competing for the playoff spot, in terms of the wild card, that's an entirely different conversation. I mean, you just look up to the American League East and you have the Yankees, who are clearly at the moment the division winner, but then you've got the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Boston Red Sox, who are all going to are all going to be teams that are in that contention, right? Are going to be in that spot, having a chance to compete for that final wild card positioning, as well as the Angels that you will be competing with. So you look at this overall, I would say the Chicago White Sox and the Twins are going to be involved in that. You don't know how it's going to shake out. So for them, for the Mariners at this time, the biggest thing is you've got to get out of this deficit that you put yourself in, and you've got to get yourself to 500 ball or above 500 ball. But to me, Stacy, by the end of June, you've got to be comfortably over 500 by the end of June to give yourself the best chance to really push in and contend in the second half of the season.
Well, here's what you got in June. So you won that series over Baltimore. That was starting the month. You've got a 3-game series against the Rangers this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then you've got a road series, once again, wrapping up that road trip against the Astros. Not easy to get that series win at Minute Maid, okay? So that's wrapping up your road trip. You got a series against the Red Sox, a series against the Twins, and then a series against the Angels. It's actually a 5-game series because one of those 4 days is a doubleheader. Then you've got the A's in here, the Angels again, and the Orioles. So you're playing some clubs that have struggled. The Orioles are a club that have given good teams headaches at times, but overall not a great team. The A's, same thing. I mean, they took their series against you, so you can hardly look down on them. But again, they're in a team that is effectively rebuilding, that had a fire sale this offseason, a series that you should be able to take. Then you've got some teams that are a little trickier. The Angels, are they going to continue to be great? I think their improvements are legitimate this offseason, but where are they going to be come June 16th when they come to town in Seattle?
Right.
The Red Sox have not had the start to the season that they've wanted, and yet they had a really solid series against you. You know what I mean? So so what's it going to look like when they come to Seattle the weekend of the 10th? By the way, Mina Kimes of ESPN, friend of the show, throwing out the first pitch at that game.
Yes, she is. I will be there at that game. We're going to be celebrating Jackson's birthday, which is on the 11th. We're going to be celebrating a little bit at the ballpark on the 10th, so that'll be fun. But, and we'll get to see Mina throw out the first pitch. But, Stacy, when you talk about the next set of games, this series against the Rangers is going to be really, really important for them to be able to stack another series win and to be able to continue that positive momentum. You know, the one thing that Curtis Rogers had pointed out to us during our show prep is, you have not seen them, really string together back-to-back wins. Mm-hmm. You know, it has been difficult to get back-to-back series wins, let alone back-to-back wins. And for this team, you want to start to see them build that level of momentum as you're going through this, you know, next part of your schedule. Because as you pointed out, the middle to the latter half of June is a huge opportunity for them to gain serious ground. And they have to weather the storm after the Rangers series when they play Houston, Boston, and Minnesota. They have to weather the storm through that because that is obviously a very difficult stretch of games, you know, 9 games that you're going to be playing here. And that's why this Rangers series, you cannot afford to miss out on the opportunity of taking advantage of, you know, teams that are beatable, right? Teams that are very beatable and that you as an organization feel like you're in better positioning than them. And Stacey, as we have talked about the deficit, you know what you can't afford to do? You can't afford to drop series that are completely 100% winnable. You can't afford to do that with the margin of error that you have, you know, put yourself in.
Now, the good news is that they've had some guys that have exceeded all expectations. I mean, everyone knows Ty France can hit, but his start to the season has been absolutely phenomenal. Your starting pitching, you don't have the best depth in the world. Like, if you get some injuries, knock on wood, like, you're in trouble. That's the case with a lot of teams, but that's the case with Seattle, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Your bullpen has not been what it was. Now, you could get some guys back, right? Where's Swanson in his recovery? Could he be returning soon? When could we see Ken Giles? Might that be this year, or, you know, is it going to be a bit later in the season? Paul Sewald has been nails for you, just as he was last year, but overall, your bullpen has really been a struggle. So you've got some reasons to think that you can be better than you were.
Yeah.
But then also some things that have realistically and understandably kept you back. So what can you actually improve in June?
Well, what you can improve overall is, you mentioned health, but also we've talked about this before, your depth in terms of your lineup. You know what was great to see last night, Stacey?
What?
It was great to see Luis Torrens and Jesse Winker actually come alive in this game.
Great
yesterday.
Game
both of them in the game yesterday were able to register, you know, three hits apiece, and to be able to drive in RBIs. So when you're driving in runs and you're contributing at that level, those are two bats that were going into the season, Stacey, that the Mariners were counting on, that they were relying on, that Torrens would remain and have the bat that he had in the second half of the season last year. And then obviously we've talked at length about what Jesse Winker was supposed to mean for the Mariners this season. If they can start to string together those types of performances on a consistent basis, I mean, you're looking at a very strong potential month of June. So you're talking about what could you bank on in terms of improvements? How about start there? How about start with Jesse Winker? And not just him, you know, getting, you know, three little base hits. He made serious contact on the ball, had great exit velocity, and it's not just, you know, a single. It is, you know, extra base hits. It is driving in runs in clutch situations. And if he would not have... Unfortunately, if he would not have tried to, you know, take the double and try to turn it into triple and he gets himself out.
None of us are perfect.
In the first inning, then they would have won this game with 8 runs. So I just think that Jesse Winker coming alive for this team would be a huge development in the month of June.
If you could have, look, if again, I said yesterday, I'm not blaming either of these players for where this team is right now, certainly. But if you could have Jesse Winker and Robbie Ray just in general improve, not even to like their best selves, but just in general improve, you're at a much better place in June.
Yeah, you are.
Considering your schedule and considering the rest of the talent you have around them.
It is, and I wouldn't even, and I think that's a great point that you make. They don't even need superhuman, superstar, all-star level performances. They just need to be better than what they have been up to this point. And obviously we'll see what happens with Kyle Lewis after he comes back off the, you know, concussion protocol and everything else. You know, obviously getting him back would be a great thing for this team, to have one more threat in the lineup with this group. So I think that when you go out and you are able to get consistent contributions from key players, right? We've seen that from Ty France. We've seen that from J.P. Crawford. We've seen it from Julio and how big of a boost that can be. If you can add to that list I think that's what you want to see in the month of June. You want to see somebody like Winker. You want to see somebody like Kyle Lewis or, you know, Luis Torrens. Somebody, you know, a bat or two that has a really strong month of June and is able to really put things together. I think that would be a massive development for this team and obviously for this offense. And I think with a weaker schedule, we certainly could see that happen.
Now, Shannon Dreyer, Mariners insider for Seattle Sports, is not in the prediction business. Jake, are you willing to make a prediction about this upcoming series against the Rangers?
I'll make a prediction, but I won't put any donuts on the line.
That's fine. We already have donuts on the line, being that there's going to be a grand slam tonight.
Okay, so if there's a grand slam tonight, it's double or nothing.
Second time's a charm. People always say that. That is a well-known
and
saying.
And Stacey has to bring in donuts on Monday and Friday next week if she loses this.
I'm going to need a text reminder. I don't have a very good memory.
I will gladly remind you. Trust me. I will gladly remind you. Now, okay, so what do you want to predict?
What? A series win or not, and tell me why.
Series win or not, I believe that they will win this series. I really do. Right now, you look at the Rangers, they're on a two-game losing streak, which isn't the end of the world, but you know, in the last 10 games, they're 6-4. I think that the Rangers are a team that are always going to be, I would say, dangerous, just because you never know what you're going to get out of them, and they certainly have bats that could, you know, give you a problem any given night. But from a consistency standpoint, this is a boom or bust type of team. This is a boom or bust type of lineup. And I think that the Mariners have the opportunity to be the, you know, more consistent team out of this group. And the fact that the Rangers have not really gotten any, you know, production, any good production out of Marcus Semien has really hurt this team. So I think that the Mariners can continue to keep pressing forward, keep moving forward. And, you know, just speaking from a Mariners perspective, and how this team has performed in recent games, once again, I want to point out that the offense has gotten a lot of criticism, and rightfully so. But if you look back, starting with the Red Sox, you look at the Red Sox series.
Oh, I don't want to look back at the Red Sox.
I know. Series. It was a debacle, Stacey, but look at it. The runs that they produced, 6, 5, 4.
No, that's what was heartbreaking about it.
Athletics.
Yes.
You get 7, 5 Astros, you 6-6 Orioles 10, and then 7. This offense has done better. They have produced better, and they have been definitely more consistent, I would say, than what they were for a majority of the month of May. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's equated to wins, but I think the offense has done better, and I do believe that the pitching is really starting to come into its own a little bit. And so I'm really optimistic about what they can do against the Rangers. I predict series win, and I'm not sweating about it.
The 787, where's that? 787 tells me that, by the way, the nothing part of double or nothing means Jake has to bring nothing if he loses. I don't like that, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm willing, though.
To bend the rules a little bit.
To bend the rules here.
Because it means that you could get 2 days of donuts.
Yes.
So think about it that way.
And
I've been wanting to try some different donut places. Lefko, who's the producer for Wyman and Bob, sent me a list of all the best donut places in Seattle. And there's this, what was it, General Porpoise? Has anyone ever been to General Porpoise? If you have, can you text in and let me know how it is?
I have not. I want to
try it out. Apparently, they're like filled with like custard.
Okay.
So it's not like a donut where it's like a maple bar and a sprinkle donut. It's like they're donuts that are filled with
things. But I want a maple bar.
Okay, I'll get you a maple bar. But first, actually, I don't need to get you a maple bar because there's going to be a grand slam tonight. Why am I even arguing this? It's going to happen. All right, let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really
first down, Jake. What did the Seahawks want to accomplish with the quarterbacks specifically during OTAs?
Well, I think there's one specific mission that they want to get done, and let's listen to it in cut number 5 from Shane Waldron.
I think really just the overall command of the position, you know, who gives us the best chance to win games when it comes to the fall. And right now it's just a good learning op where we're, you know, this time of year we're in t-shirt and shorts for them to really build that foundation where they can go into training camp and put themselves in the best positions to compete.
This is a learning opportunity. This is a opportunity and during this time where they're not going to be sitting there, Stacey, and charting completions, incompletions. They're not going to be doing that. right now, the focus is on trying to make sure that everyone is caught up, everyone is on the same page, and that when it comes to this quarterback battle, that you're doing everything that you can to get Drew Lock caught up to speed and familiar with this offense so that when you hit training camp, Jacob Eason, Drew Lock, Geno Smith, everybody has an equal opportunity to really truly compete and be on the same footing. When camp starts, from day one of training camp, the competition is on and there will be no babying the process. Right now, I believe that they are doing that to a degree for everyone to, you know, really try to bring these young players along and really focus on the teaching aspect of things, which I think is smart. Now, from this point forward, you have to have those young guys and you have to have players like Drew Lock that are taking advantage of each and every single day, the opportunity to learn a new install, the opportunity to learn from the day before. They've got to show that they can do that and they can fix some of the problems that they have, you know, on any given day. And Stacey, listening to that cut again from Shane Waldron, he just pulled a Stacey.
Excuse me?
He did.
What do you mean? Like he was right about everything
listen,
and everyone
listen
loved
to it
him?
Again. Let's go to cut five. I want you to listen for the Stacey moment here.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
I think really just the overall command of the position, you know, who gives us the best chance to win games when it comes to the fall. And right now it's just a good learning op where we're, you know, this time of year where we're in t-shirt and shorts for them to really build that foundation where they can go into training camp and put themselves in the best position.
Is it because he's shortening words?
Yes.
So you're still mad because yesterday, what was it that I said?
I don't even remember what you said, but he said instead of opportunities, it's a learning op.
No, I would say oppies.
Yeah, but he shortened the word.
Ken Walker is going to get a lot of oppies to get some snaps at running back. No, it looks great. Can I say something very quickly? Number one.
I don't know. No.
Number one.
No,
as far
after
as donuts,
that, no.
Listen. As far as donuts, someone letting me know Chuck's Donuts. Chuck's Donuts, let me tell you what, one of my favorite places on the planet. I've been there a million times. Secondly, check this out. So, as you know, the late John Clayton, who we all loved very much, cared deeply about the Multiple Sclerosis Society. In fact, the John Clayton Memorial Fund benefits the Multiple Sclerosis Society. There was the MS Walk and everything that his wife, Pat, participated in. We all went to support her. One listener, Adam in the 425, texts in, if we're going to put my betting to good use here, he said, if there's a grand slam tonight and we win, I will donate $200 to the Multiple Sclerosis Society. If we hit a grand slam
wow.
and we don't win, I'll donate $100. If we simply win, then I'll donate $50. Now, Jake,
that is incredible.
Hear me out. I'm going to match Adam if we win and donate $50. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'll
yeah.
Probably donate
I'm in.
I'll donate either way. But let's make it fun. Let's put my gambling
addiction
to good use here to benefit the Multiple Sclerosis
all right.
Society.
Sounds
love
good.
You, John. All right. Second down. What did Uchenna Nwosu say that caught your attention?
Well, what caught my attention is Uchenna Nwosu being very, very blunt about the importance of the defensive line this season. Cut 15.
Oh, it definitely starts up front. You know, those big D linemen in the middle and the two edge players on the edge is definitely what makes this defense go. From playing in it last year, we had our ups and downs in certain situations, but the guys up front, specifically the guys with their hands in the dirt and the outside backers, they're the ones that's supposed to make this defense go. The defense is made for us to make plays and fly off the ball and be disruptive. So if edge players and D linemen aren't going, then the defense is a total wash.
The defense is a total wash if the defensive line doesn't get going. That is as blunt as it gets. And when you're talking about, you know, what does this defense emphasize and all this, I want to be very clear. There's nothing dramatically different about what you're going to see from the overall structure of this defensive line. It's not like they're going to put these defensive ends in these unique, different positions that you've never seen before, and that's going to unlock this, you know, fun, exciting new scheme. They're going to be on the edge. They're going to be rushing the passer. But what I would say is that there is a stronger emphasis in allowing the defensive line to be aggressive, to get after the quarterback, to work together better in their twists and stunts. I think that there will be a better, you know, emphasis on that defensive line. But Uchenna Nwosu is correct. Mm. If the defensive line, Stacey, doesn't get going, if they don't get home to the quarterback, if they don't harass the quarterback at a high level, this is going to be a really tough year, a really, really tough year, because you cannot be an aggressive defense on the back end if you know that the quarterback is going to be able to consistently throw from a clean pocket. It makes your job incredibly difficult. And so I think that the defensive line and Achenu Nwosu are taking on that challenge, and they recognize the opportunity. And I think he's 100% right. This defensive line has to come through for them.
Third down. What impression have the two rookie tackles, Charles Cross and Abe Lucas, been able to make so far on Shane Waldron?
Well, I think the impression so far is that it's been nothing but positive, and it really makes you feel confident in the likelihood that Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas are going to be the starters from day one. Let's listen to Shane Waldron here, cut 11.
Of all the positions, you know, communication is important, but, you know, with the offensive line, I think it's paramount right there, and their ability to interact with the guards next to him or interact in that offensive line room and really have an understanding of what the system entails, whether it's a run game or protections, and have a good feel for it. And both those guys have shown that they could come right in and they've studied hard. There's, you know, you get the extra time with the rookies as far as meetings go, and they've been in there, you know, all day, every day, so to speak, when they can. And Andy Dickerson's done a great job with getting those guys, again, similar to Ken, where felt like they've been caught up to speed pretty quick, and there's a long way to go, a lot of understanding left to gain in the offense, but they've been able to get in right away and be able to operate at a high level at this time of year.
So when you talk about that, the ability to operate at a high level this time of year, that to me is very positive when it comes down to the mental aspect of Abraham Lucas, Charles Cross, their ability to be not only smart players, but to translate their college experience, which was very unique, being in the air raid system, to then now playing at the NFL level in an outside zone scheme in a professional, you know, in a professional game where it's a little bit different and your skill set has to adjust based off the technique that this now staff wants you to operate under in Andy Dickerson and Shane Waldron, and that they've been able to pick up on it very well, that they've been savvy about it, and that should make Seahawks fans feel good, not reassured that everything's going to work out, but make you feel good that they are on a positive track to, you know, really solidify themselves as day one starters and also to be able to do it at a high level.
Fourth down. All right, coming up in the timeline, I've got something to tell you about a change to the National Spelling Bee. They've added something to it that's absolutely insane. Before we get to that, your fourth down, tied to the timeline, of course, as always. What school activity, it could be a mundane one, right? Or it could be something like spelling or math, would you absolutely crush if there was a national competition?
Oh, man.
We're not talking high school football, Jake. I want to hear about like long division, Jake. I want to hear about, or you know, maybe if there's a baby diaper changing, Jake. You know what I mean? Like, is there some kind of mundane activity where you're like, I would, like in the Dad Olympics, you would crush blank. It could also be that.
A
non-sports related
thing. I mean, look, diaper changing, I will take my abilities against, you know, all the dads out there. I feel very confident in my diaper changing ability. And how about this? My swaddling ability, baby swaddling, I own it. I dominate it. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, I can do a mean baby swaddle. It's difficult. Sometimes it's challenging.
Yeah. But people don't give it the credit it deserves.
No, they don't. But I'm telling you, you want me to swaddle your baby in a perfect swaddle so that it's just like, it never comes undone?
I need you to never tell anyone, do you want me to swaddle your baby?
I it should be a service. Some people struggle with this, Stacey. You just don't, you know, it's some people just can never quite figure it out.
I get it.
I should open a service.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, right before their nap, just I'll swaddle them.
Maybe you could do YouTube tutorials. We can have that on the Seattle Sports Station YouTube page.
Yes.
Oh, you think you're watching for sports? Incorrect. You're watching for swaddling tutorials from Jake.
I learned from my wife. She's amazing at it. But I'm telling you, I got it down. I've got it down. Like, if Brooke tells me she's impressed by my swaddling ability, like, it's for real.
It's Jake and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. All right, one school changes its fight song. Not everyone's too happy about it. Plus, the National Spelling Bee has added a new round, and it's insane. That's next.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It is the timeline on Jake and Stacey, reading you the top stories you're going to see on your own timeline this hour, by the way, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Now, earlier in four down territory, your fourth down was, hey, Jake, the National Spelling Bee has a new round. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. It's crazy. Before I get to that, what is a mundane activity that you would excel in? Not that spelling is mundane. Don't get me wrong. Has anyone watched the National Spelling Bee? It's exciting. But you said swaddling. You would absolutely crush it. A couple texters texting in, though. This from one listener. Jake, you physically swaddle, like actually burrito them? Just get sleep sacks, dude. They're a massive game changer.
Look. Is
Jake bragged about his swaddling
River,
for two minutes straight,
yeah,
I'm telling
yeah,
you right
but
now.
Is River in a sleep sack now? Yeah, she's 10 months. She's okay. 9 months, going to be 10 months. Like, yeah, she's already graduated from that. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, if you need a baby that is in the appropriate age, a swaddle is, I got you. Like, I got you covered.
Two things that I learned. First of all, from the 253, they have an idea. Do you suffer from insomnia? Call Jake's Adult Swaddling Services. Yes, Jake will swaddle you before you sleep so that you get a full night's rest. Don't depend on funky mattresses that don't help. Sleep better by Jake's Adult Swaddling.
And that'll cost you $500.
Secondly,
plus travel fee for gas, which is astronomical these days.
Then you told me that there are adult swaddles. And
yes.
I looked it up and
it's a thing now.
First of all,
it's weird.
It was on Shark Tank. So I'm going to spend like $70 to feel claustrophobic. I'm getting into a giant sock that goes up to my neck. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know why you would do it as an adult. Hello, it's called a blanket.
Yeah,
use one,
exactly.
You weirdo. Look, there's a lot of fathers out there that are saying, hey, I have a hard time with the swaddle, and you know, maybe I will do a video tutorial.
I think you should do a video
tutorial.
So? Yeah, yes, and I think you should do it like.
A lot
of you have asked me about my skincare routine. Like, hey, a lot of you have been asking about my swaddling services.
My swaddling technique.
Do a lot of vocal fry. All right.
All so the moms out there would be looking at this like, this guy's an idiot.
The National Spelling Bee has added a speed round. And by the way, it's insane. Here's what it sounded like.
Your first word is spielbone.
S-P-E-A-L-B-O-N-E.
Phreatophyte.
P-H-R-E-A-T-O-P-H-Y-T-E.
Guidiang.
G-A-Y-D-I-A-N-G.
Parison.
P-A-R-I-S-O-N.
Eximer.
E-X-E-I-M-E-R.
Tokia, Tokia.
T-O-Q-U-I-L-L-A.
Glocus.
G-L-O-C-H-I-S.
Apulma.
E-P-A-U-L-E-M-E-N-T.
Cara.
C-H-A-R-A.
Mayutic, Mayutic.
M-A-I-E-U-T-I-Z.
First of all, unfortunately, I don't know these words. Secondly, there is nothing like watching the National Spelling Bee to make you feel like an idiot. Props to all of these kids. That's
also,
always amazing.
How cocky is this kid with this thing?
I wish that just immediately like drop the mic.
But it's also to the point where you almost kind of like want them to miss one.
What? Like, no, you don't, Jake,
yes,
you monster. Absolutely
yes,
not.
No. Listen
Are you kidding
to
me right now? No, you don't want them to miss one. What's wrong with you?
Do you know how long it would take me to just come up with two letters of that word?
A while.
It would take me a long time.
Okay.
So
Jake.
I just want them to be just like somewhat like human about it. Like just think about it for a second. Just like, you know, take your time for one second.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What if, what if, Stacey, because they were so arrogant about how they were doing this that they messed up because they were just, oh, I got this. I'm going to nail this down instead of just taking your time, right?
I'm going to tell you a word and I want to see
owning
how quickly
it.
You can spell it.
I don't want to do
this. No, they're going to be words you know. Ready?
I don't want to
do
this.
Here we go.
This.
Seahawks.
S-E-A.
That's how quickly you can go.
A-W-K-S.
Jake,
ding.
Go quick.
Move on.
Go as quickly as you can. Seattle.
S-E-A.
As quickly as you can.
Ding. Move on.
Mariners.
I'm not missing one.
Mariners.
M-A-R-I.
You would be eliminated. They would kick you.
N-E-R-S. Ding. No, I am going to make sure that I get every single one of those letters right. I am not taking it to chance.
Restaurant.
No, we're done. We're not doing this, okay? My cadence is not going to change. You are not going to get me to fall. See, Stacey, this is something that you would do. You would try to go fast, and you're going to miss a letter, and everyone's going to laugh at you, and you're like, I know how to spell bathroom, okay?
B-A-T-H-R-O-O-M. I mean,
Okay.
That's
pretty good.
That's pretty good. But these kids would be like, these idiots. Look at these adults spelling bathroom on air as fast as they can, and it's not even as fast as we're spelling all these weird scientific periodic table compounds or whatever.
Well, I just, doesn't it just bother you a little bit?
No, because I can legally drive. Like, what can these kids do? Like, I understand that you can spell words and that's awesome and you're probably all going to be famous scientists and super accomplished, but for right now in this moment, I've got to put disposable income and my
okay.
own. And
well,
my own
in the future, they're going to have so much more disposable income than you.
Second,
enjoy it while it lasts.
The second they are
it's
adults,
not gonna be long.
They're going to be more accomplished than me. For right now, in this moment, I don't have a bedtime and they do. And that's all I have to say about that. Next year, Notre Dame changed their fight song to be more inclusive. So as you know, the Notre Dame fight song used to say something about like sons. So they did it because it was an all men's school. So they did it to include the word daughters. Uh-huh. Some alum are not happy about it.
Really?
They think that it changes the fight song. They're
this
not
is an outrage.
This is an outrage. This is what I'll say about it. A, it's a fight song. Chill.
Okay.
You can always do your own version if you want. People do it during the Apple. It doesn't matter. Secondly, if this is what made you so angry today,
yeah.
You've got a pretty good life. Like, if the adding
that's
the word
true.
Daughters
very
to a
true.
Fight song is what really, really is, like, grinding your gears this morning,
mm-hmm.
and you have nothing else that makes you mad, like, that's a pretty, you've had a pretty decent day.
Yeah, I would say so. The question is, how does it go together? Like, does
okay,
it does it rhyme? Does it sound
so
weird
it,
now?
It,
like,
it doesn't rhyme. They don't rhyme it with that part of it, but I will say that. Now, I'm not being critical of adding the word daughters. I think that there is a
yeah.
slightly more creative way that they could have done it. So it's old Notre Dame will win overall while her loyal sons and daughters march on to victory.
Yeah. I mean, like, I have no argument against adding daughters, but I agree with you. Is there not, like, a better way to add that? Like, sons and daughters.
I don't know. Onward to victory used to be the line. They're adding an extra syllable. Anyways.
I feel like the BYU fight song, Rise and Shout, they
yeah.
have that as well. I'm gonna,
like they edited it?
I'm going to look.
It
no, not that they edited it, but that it's in the fight song. And they were able to do that. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I know that everyone else is worried about this, so
yeah.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this and make sure that the Notre Dame fight song can get out there on the right foot. Because I just feel like there's a better way to, like, be more inclusive, but also not have to destroy the, like, the rhythm of the song,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't know. Either way, though, I'm not.
Oh, it
I'm
does say alma mater, sons and daughters in the Rise and Shout song.
Okay. Well, there you go. And
yeah.
that actually kind of rhymes.
Yeah,
so
there
it's
you
fine.
Go.
One listener, no way Stacey isn't jealous of those kids being on TV and she isn't. I don't like feeling, first of all, I don't like feeling exposed on this show. I come on here to be vulnerable with you guys and talk to you about all these cool sports stories and things that we're doing. All right. That's enough. Time for the IRG.
They went right into your soul.
They did. Time for the IRG injury report brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. Ken Giles will begin his rehab assignment with Everett this week. Everett. Nailed it. Kyle Lewis is eligible to come off the 7-day concussion IL this weekend. It's Jake and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Mariners fans need to pump the brake on something that's coming up next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Well, I was going to talk about something that Mariners fans need to pump the brakes on, but I got to push it back because we have some good breaking news. AL Rookie of the Month and NL Rookie of the Month are out. AL Rookie of the Month, one Julio Rodriguez.
Let's go!
Julio Rodriguez becomes
the J-Rod Show. Yeah, baby.
Julio Rodriguez becomes the youngest Mariners player ever to win the award.
Let's go,
and
Stacey.
The fifth Mariners player to win Rookie of the Month. And it's fitting because he hit his first home
That's
run
right.
on May 1st. The Mariners sending out a press release with all of that information for you guys for the AL Rookie of the Month in May, Julio Rodriguez. In 30 plate appearances in May among all AL rookies, he ranked among the league leaders in virtually every offensive category, including first in hits with 34, tied for first in home. home runs with 6. He's second in RBI, fourth in average at 309, and tied for first in stolen bases and in weighted runs created plus 156.
And wait, shout out to the Mariners social media team tweeting out the Mayrod show and having all of stats labeled out. I mean, I see what you did there. Very nice.
I like it. I like it.
Now, Stacey, you know what this means?
No.
Do you know what this means?
No, but your tone is making me nervous.
This means that the Mariners have a bona fide superstar in their hands. That's what this means. Do you know that?
I mean,
do you know
I
that?
I would have said that I felt that way even before Julio Rodriguez was named.
But he's actually doing it.
Well, yeah. No, he actually is. In fact, let's go ahead and take a listen back. Here's his home run off of Justin Verlander.
Verlander from the stretch. Here's the pitch. The Julio swing and a fly ball deep in the right field. Tucker going back to the one he tracked near the wall. Goodbye, baseball. Julio Rodriguez. And opposite field. Two-run home run here in the bottom of the first off of Verlander. France will score on in front of them. The Mariners have a 2-0 lead here in the bottom of the first inning. For Julio, there is home run number 6 and a standing ovation from the fans here at T-Mobile Park.
That was a great game.
Man, that was an awesome game.
Six home runs in the month of May, and it was fitting, again, that the first home run was May 1st. So literally in the month of May, just the most production that you've seen from him. And it's been a phenomenal month. I mean, already I had the feeling of he was up for a bases loaded situation yesterday, and there were no two players I'd want to see in that situation at the plate other than Ty France and Julio Rodriguez.
Right, absolutely. And maybe you, and you would obviously say probably J.P. Crawford in there as well, as maybe one of those guys that you would be interested in seeing in that situation.
To get a base hit.
Yeah, to get a base hit. But I think that what Julio has been able to do and the transition that he has made quickly from, you know, the tough couple weeks to start his season off, what he has done is he's made adjustments. He has been confident with his approach at the plate. He's taking things in stride. I mean, if there's a game where he goes 0-for-4, you don't panic at all. You're like, uh-oh. You don't feel that way. It is, all right, well, Julio's just going to come back the next night, and he's going to have a 2-for-4 performance or a 3-for-5 performance. Who knows? I mean, I think the thing that's just been impressive to me is how Julio Rodriguez has been able to affect the game in every facet. Every facet, Stacey. I mean, he is leading the league. He's leading the league in stolen bases. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, as you talked about his stats and rattled those off in the month of May, where he ranks not just in rookies, but in terms of all of baseball.
Well, in fact,
I mean, that's pretty darn impressive.
In terms of young players to also reach those feats, this also from the Mariners. He tallied 9 multi-hit games and 6 games with 3-plus hits during May, becoming the first player, 21 or younger, to tally that many 3-plus hit games in a calendar month since Manny Machado tallied 7 in 2013.
I would say that's pretty good company, is it not?
That's good company.
Yeah, and right now, also, it's, you know, as I talked about, you know, in every facet, his ability to run the base paths, obviously what he is doing at the plate, you know, his average, his slugging has really increased, his ability to drive in runs, and then obviously the thing that we have all been kind of selfishly waiting for is the power, right? Like,
yes.
Because who doesn't love dingers?
Because everyone loves dingers.
That's
like,
right.
I don't know.
But you know he possesses it.
I believe the analytical, the science behind this is people love dingers.
That's right. And, you know, you've seen him consistently hit singles where his exit velo is, you know, off the charts. And he's consistently hitting the ball hard, but you haven't seen him been able to get that lift, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this month you got to watch that. You got to see it. And I believe that this is something that's going to regularly happen, and it's not just Julio Rodriguez, you know, being able to pick his pitch and being able to take it and rip it, you know, down the left field line. No, this is, you know, as you played that clip against Justin Verlander, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, going opposite way, hitting it into clear right field and having that power to be able to hit the ball out of the park in any direction. I mean, that is special, Stacey. That is special talent that you can't teach. And, I am just so incredibly glad to see Julio Rodriguez have this start to the season and to be able to see this talented kid and this infectious personality really be able to shine this early on.
If you're just now joining us, two things I need to tell you. Number one, Julio Rodriguez was named the AL Rookie of the Month for May. Number two, we did make another donut bet.
important to add that in there.
We made another donut bet. Hear me out, Jake. The donut bet, which is a double or nothing bet, was that there would be a grand slam in tonight's game, because I bet that there would be one yesterday and there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
What if these two things meet? What if these two stories collide?
You know what?
For an epic win for your girl, Julio Rodriguez hits a grand slam tonight against the Texas Rangers. You heard it here first.
You know what I would say to that?
Matt, if that doesn't happen, we go back and we delete this from the podcast.
I would gladly pay at that point. I would gladly go over,
fantastic,
go get some donuts, and I would have wonderful, a giant smile on my face, because that would be great.
I would like four maple bars, please.
Four?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with four maple bars? You could barely eat one. You eat half of a maple bar.
Well, I'm going to eat all four.
Yeah, you are not.
It's over the course of a show, one bar per hour.
Stacey, you would die if you ate four maple bars.
I think I could accept that challenge.
Coming from the person that cuts donuts in half.
We are taking you around the diamond to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners open a series against the Texas Rangers today. First pitch is at 5:05 p.m. Pregame show starts at 4 p.m. right here on Seattle Sports Station. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company. The latest from Seahawks OTAs and from this team with Michael Bumpus. That's next.